So I'd like to focus on our first reading this morning. It's actually a really amazing story, and we only get a very small cutting of it in today's reading. But it would be worth going back and reading it. So if you have a chance today or this week, it's the fifth chapter of the second book of Kings in the Old Testament. Definitely worth rereading. A great story. So most of the story we don't hear in today's first reading, so I want to give a little background to the story. So the main character in our first reading is a man named Naaman. And Naaman is a very powerful and influential person in his country, which is Aram. So he's an Aramean, and they're enemies of Israel. Often the Arameans will come into Israel and loot and plunder Israelite cities. And so they're always kind of going back and forth, Aram and Israel. So this important person, Naaman, who's the commander of the Aramean army, has a disability, a big problem, actually. And that's that he has leprosy. So this would have caused Naaman a lot of fear for his own health. Leprosy is a terrible disease where people would develop open sores, and the disease kind of eats away their flesh. So it results in really terrible and painful deformities. It's very much feared because it was contagious disease. So not only is there like the physical suffering aspect of it, but there's also just the humiliating aspect of it too. The embarrassment that it would have been for this important person to have such a dreaded disease. So in one of the raids that the Arameans had performed in Israel, they had taken a slave, and they would often take slaves from Israel into their own country, but they took a little slave girl who was an Israelite, and she ended up the slave of Naaman's wife. And so this little girl is aware of what her master is suffering, and she says to her, his wife, "Well, tell my master to go into Israel where a prophet can heal him." So, surprisingly, Naaman does this. He gets permission from his own king, and he takes all of this gold and silver along and then goes into Israel and with all of his servants. And it would have been a very public act for him to do this. This enemy of the state of Israel being given entrance into Israel and being able to go all the way to see the king. And so when he gets to the Israelite king, the Israelite king is really upset and thinks that this is a trick or a trap. Like, this enemy comes into their territory and now wants to be healed, and what if he's not healed? And so the Israelite king is very upset about this. But Elisha the prophet hears about what's going on and so sends a message to Naaman to come and see him. So finally, Naaman arrives to the prophet Elisha, and he's standing outside the house of the prophet, but the prophet doesn't come out to meet him, but instead sends his messenger out, and his messenger says, "Go and bathe in the Jordan River seven times," or "dunk yourself in the Jordan River seven times." So I just want to stop for a minute and appreciate everything that Naaman has gone through at this point. He has a very embarrassing problem. It's a painful problem. And he really humbles himself in order to try to fix the problem. So he goes to his own king, which would be... Well, first of all, he takes the advice of this little slave girl. And he's a very powerful person, so that's humbling himself. And then he goes to his own king, which would have been humbling, and then he goes into Israel, which would have been humbling. And then he goes before the king, who doesn't believe him, which would have been humbling. And finally, he goes to the prophet. And the prophet doesn't even go out to meet him. He's come all this way. This prophet doesn't even leave his house in order to greet him, but instead sends his servant. And now he's supposed to go bathe in the Jordan River, which is not an impressive river at all. It's like a muddy stream. And so at this point, Naaman has had it. He says, "Are not all of the rivers in my own country better than this pathetic little river in Israel? Could I have not washed myself in my own river, in my own country, and been healed?" And so he turns around then. He's going to give it all up, go back to his own country. But then one of his servants stops him and says, "Master, if the prophet had asked you to do something extraordinary for healing, you would have done it. But instead, he asked you to do something very simple and ordinary, and so you don't want to do it. But do it," the servant says. And so again, Naaman shows humility, listens to his own servant, goes into the Jordan River, goes into the water, out of the water, 7 times. And that's where we pick up in today's reading, that when he comes out of the water the 7th time, then his flesh has been healed. And the scriptures tell us that his flesh is soft and fresh and healthy like that of a little baby. So it's pretty amazing symbolism that's going on here. Definitely symbol of baptism. Because of what happened later in the Jordan River, that's where John the Baptist is baptizing and Jesus goes to the Jordan to be baptized. And what happens to us when we're baptized? I think there's a baptism later this morning. And so when that little child has water poured over their head, what happens? Well, something way better than that happened to Naaman. Because all that happened to Naaman was simply his flesh was restored to its original health, like it was when he's a baby. But what happens at baptism goes so far beyond just restoring us back to where we were before. It gives us something entirely new, a clean heart, a clean conscience that we didn't have before. That's what it means for our original sin to be taken away. We have a white heart like we never have had it before. So baptism, so much better than what it does to Nathan. It gives us something that we didn't even have when we were born, an innocence that we did not have as a little baby. So I think it's good for us to ask the question, well, how are we like Naaman? I mean, each one of us has a source of suffering in our life. Something that's embarrassing or painful, humiliating for us. Maybe only we know about it, what it is, this problem that we have. Could be a physical problem or it could be a psychological problem. Could be a certain struggle in our life, a relationship that's gone bad, or it could be our own struggle with sin. Everybody has something, a source of pain in our life. And in our pride, it's very tempting to just keep this to ourselves, to try to deal with it ourselves. It's not that big of a deal. No one else can help me with this. Or we're just too prideful to share it with another person, even our close loved one who we trust. We're too prideful to share problems. But yet, Naaman was able to recognize that he couldn't help himself. He couldn't figure it out himself. He couldn't solve the problem that he had. And so he had to seek help outside of himself. And that was humiliating for him. It was very difficult for him to do that. All of the stuff that he had to go through. He's an important person. But yet he really humbled himself all the way into Israel, all the way to the Jordan River. But when he was finally willing to do anything and humble himself, that's when the healing came. So I think the first thing we see is actually what a grace that was for Naaman. What happens, we hear a little bit about this in the end of our first reading today, but what happens is that Naaman decides he's going to serve now the God of Israel. He's going back to his country where they worship foreign gods, and he recognizes that's going to be a tension for him. So what does he do? He wants to take a load of dirt from Israel so that at least he has a piece of Israel back in his country that he can stand on and offer worship to the one and true God of Israel. So, again, even more important than what happens to Naaman's body is what happens to his soul. He's changed now forever. He's going to worship the one and true God. And none of that would have happened if he hadn't had leprosy. So often we think, well, why has God cursed me with this problem? But what if God wants to so work with and through this problem that he actually is going to work a miracle in my life because of it? What if this problem, even though it's painful and humiliating, what if this is actually the way that God is going to bring about a great healing in my life? Do something absolutely amazing. He's going to use this problem for in a way that will benefit me so much, bless me so much. Such that I bet Naaman went home thanking God even for the leprosy that he had, because it was through that leprosy that led him to new life, not just in body, but also in, more importantly, in his soul. So what if we thought about our problem that way, as a way that God wanted to enter into my life, as a way that God really wanted to do something, bring about something great in my life, using a surprising means? The other thing that I can't help but think about is how ordinary the remedy was. Naaman's servant says to him, "Master, if they asked you to do something extraordinary for your healing, if they asked you to stand on your head, you would have done it. But instead, they ask you to go to the water and bathe. And because it's such a simple thing, you don't want to do it." And it makes me think of not just baptism, but all of the sacraments that are so simple. So we might think, well, even with the sacrament of reconciliation, a sacrament that a lot of people struggle with, and that's a common thing. But let's say that we have this struggle with sin in our life, again, like we're tempted to keep it to ourselves, don't want anybody else to know about it, but yet we're struggling and it's humiliating and painful for us. And then the church says, well, Jesus is there in the sacrament of reconciliation. You just have to confess your sin. And we can be scandalized by that. We can think, well, why should I confess my sin to a priest? I can walk around, I can go for a walk in the woods and confess my sin to God. But we probably don't notice a lot of difference after we've taken the walk of the woods and confessed our sins to God. Why? Because he wants us to do something that's so simple and ordinary. Tell your sins to the priest. But when we have the humility to do something so simple and ordinary and humbling, what do we find there? Healing, freedom, peace. It doesn't mean that all of our problems are necessarily fixed, but the problem of the lack of forgiveness for my sin is fixed. And what if I would humble myself enough to keep going back to confession then, as I needed to? the healing that God would work in my life from that very simple, ordinary sacrament, that humbling of myself that requires, what a miracle that could work in my life. All the sacraments, simple. If we want God in our life, it's not that hard. He's given us everything. We practice our faith by receiving the sacraments regularly, coming to Mass on Sundays, going to confession regularly, receiving the other sacraments. So let's ask the Lord today to give us this gift of humility that we see so amazingly in Naaman, this gift of humility that acknowledges that we need help. We can't do it ourselves. We can't fix our own problems as much as we try and want to. Let's ask the Lord to give us the humility that we need to share our problem with another person, to talk to somebody who can help us, to go to confession, to do something so simple, ordinary, humbling, and to discover God's healing precisely in that act of humility.